Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And reading from verse 1 through verse 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And 2 Peter chapter 3, and beginning at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, their own desire, and saying, where is the promise of his parousia, his coming, his appearing? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, as we approach thy word this morning, we realize, Lord, that there is so much of our lives which is invisible, and yet we have faith in those things. For faith is the evidence of things which we cannot see. And yet our five senses are so tied to this earth. But Father, we thank you for that sixth sense, which is faith, which allows us to see a greater part of the universe, which to the mortal eye is in an unseen state. And Father, realizing that your presence, your very divine presence among us here, is not to be seen with the eye, although you've had pictures taken, but yet is in another dimension. And yet one day that dimension will be more real than what we see, taste, and feel. And we're coming to that. And Father, we pray that this body, the one called the body of this death by the Apostle Paul, that we might be able to lay it aside and look with that, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, and that we might see all those things which are real and yet are invisible. And now, Father, we commit this service to thee, and I pray, Father, that the scriptures, the quotations of your prophet, the things that we deliver to the people, I pray that our hearts, Lord, will be able to see these things and understand how great thou art. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The problem with the material I have this morning is there's so many pages. I think 13 or 11. Let's see here. 11 in reduced print size. There's so much material, I don't know if we'll ever get through it all today, and I don't plan to go over it again. But I wanted to bring a message that would be more, well, it's right from what Brother Branham is saying here in the next few paragraphs of Melchizedek, but I wanted to bring something a little more light not so much on the doctrinal side, but on just to kind of get our minds exercised a little bit. And so I'm going to title this Television in the Fourth Dimension, although it actually encompasses a lot more than that. But more or less, we're speaking about the fourth dimension today. And we see in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we can only see in three dimensions. The dimensions we see in are time, space, and matter. And yet, in space is what we really see. We can experience time, and we can experience light. But we don't really understand those things. We just don't. Science doesn't really understand time. They're still exploring the measure, but they really don't understand it. Einstein took a dab at it, and his theory of relativity and his theory on light, he took a stab at it, but as Brother Brown said, if he could have taken it from the physical and applied it to the spiritual, he would have had it. He would have had something there. But we really don't understand all these things. Now, there's so many aspects in our life today that's invisible. The electricity. You hear my voice through the speakers because there's an invisible thing called an electron, which is moving at such a high rate of speed that being charged in a positive way, therefore through the AC current, the current that's moving in this place, it allows my voice to go from the speakers, like Brother Van says, it's a dumb thing. It has no voice of its own. It's a conduit. Electricity is a conduit. And therefore, I would like to make a statement, which I'd just like to say this. The fourth dimension is a conduit. Plain and simple. It's a conduit. And in a conduit, you have many things, but usually there's motion, there's travel, there's things moving. And I believe the Lord just put that on my heart because it's not on my notes. But you'll hear from some of the things Brother Ram says this morning, it only makes sense. The fourth dimension is a conduit. We pass through the fourth dimension to go to the fifth and sixth, depending on which one you're going to end up at. Brother Ram said we pass through that fourth dimension. Right now your lives are being, every motion you make, if I go like this, that motion now is logged into that conduit. And so that motion I make will go around the world. And it's hard to understand what it's all about, but let me just get into the message this morning and maybe you'll understand. Who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 55. He said, "Now, notice now his attributes." Then the attribute was first God, the thought, the attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. Then, when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. St. John, the first chapter and the first verse. Notice this is in the beginning, but before the eternal. Now notice in the beginning was the Word, and when the time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was an attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed, and in the beginning was the expression, the Word. Now, we're getting where Melchizedek is. That's this mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there now. Now notice, his first being was Spirit, God, supernatural, all right, the great eternal. Secondly, he began to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. It's called the Word body, or the Word a body. Actually, theo means God and phani is body, so it's God body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, and he was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany. Now, we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, the Lord willing. He was the Word. A theophany is something that you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like television. That's in another dimension. Television. People are moving right through this room now, singing, and there's colors also, but the eyes is only subject to the five senses. Your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather. and you are only subject to what the sight has limited to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation by television. Now, television does not manufacture a picture. A television only channels it into a circuit, and then the television screen picks it up, but the picture is there to begin with. Television was here when Adam was here. Television was here when Elijah sat on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee, but you're just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. You'd have been crazy to have said something like it. But now it's become a reality, and so is it that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday in that great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. He reveals himself in this great form of what he claimed as he morphs himself into a servant and proves himself. Now here he is in the form of spirit, and then he comes in the form of Enmorph. Now, he appeared to Abraham, Enmorph. When Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, here come Melchizedek, and he talked to him. Now this morning I'd like to take a pastoral message, I don't know if so much pastoral, just kind of scientific, or if you want, I don't know, it's just kind of a relaxing message, I think. But I'd like to address the subject of television, and what Brother Branham is speaking here. And although he's speaking of television from a scientific standpoint and not what is on the television, I'd like to address both aspects here this morning. Not so much, we're not going to get into, you're not getting a whipping about television and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about that dimension. Okay? Now, if you want to feed on that garbage, it shows where your soul's at. That's your whipping. But what I'm talking about is the dimension. Okay. First of all, Brother Graham is making a comparison between the presence of God being here, but in another dimension, and television, which is also in another dimension. But somehow, with television, you have some little chips or some little diodes or whatever they use, resistors, transistors, and all that stuff, to somehow break into that channel, break into that dimension, and to pull down whatever is flowing through that dimension. Now, it's ironic. About 10 years ago, Brother Vail, in a meeting, I think it was up in Toronto when he mentioned it, he was reading an article that was from an English newspaper, and there was a family that was watching television one night. They decided, well, we're going to go in and sit down and watch television, and they turned down the television set, and they proceeded to watch this show. They really liked the show. They said it was a very good show, and they really liked the show. So they called the local television station. They said, "Hey, that show that you had on just now, it was called such and such. Are you going to be showing any more?" They said, "We didn't show such and such. We never showed it. What we showed, what we aired tonight, was this." Well, that got their curiosity up, and they begin to research. They contacted, you know, the people that had produced the show and everything else, found out the show hadn't been aired since the 1960s. So it had been circling the globe for, I think this was in the 80s, actually late 80s when Brother Vail mentioned it, so it had been circling the globe for 20-some years in that realm, and somehow the conditions were right that their set could pick up that broadcast. Now, I read another book where they said science has proven that if a butterfly flapped his wings over Malaysia, if the atmosphere was right, that flutter could set off a tornado in Oklahoma. How insignificant the things that we do, and yet the great consequences that they can have. One drop. Throw a stone into a puddle. Not just one, boop, and that's it. But a ring goes out, and from that another 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 goes out, until it just works its way all the way across the pond. Or the lake, to an infinitesimal size. one little insignificant action on your part could result in devastating consequences to others. Well, such as, what if Jesus had never died? One little thing. What if Jesus had never died for our sins? The condition of your soul today would have no hope. What if you had never come across the message? What if that tape or that person or that booklet had never crossed your path? Where would you be today? Under what influence would you stand? So you see the significance of the election of God in your life. Now, Brother Branham made the statement, but now it's become a reality. Speaking of television. And so is it that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday in that great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. I remember one sermon, Brother Branham said, if you could just look and see by vision what I see in here this morning. That there are demons hanging around the walls waiting to enter people. And the angels of God are here. And if you could see into those dimensions and realize, everything would be different to you. Everything would. Years ago, Ron, you probably had it on your side of the field. We had a big field that separated Ron's neighborhood and my neighborhood. And in that field was WDGY. It was a radio station. And if you had a fork and took your fork and held it against your refrigerator, you could hear WDGY. Oh, everybody was doing it. It was kind of a neat thing to do. Some people had it in such a way that had braces. They could actually hear it in their mouth. So if our bodies had the right elements, we could pick up what's in that fourth dimension and see it all. And that's a scary thought. Because what's traveling in that fourth dimension? From questions and answers, Brother Brown said, your very life proves what you are. As I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial or terrestrial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is up is somewhere else, is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth, in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you're still got malice and envy and strife, you're in the spirit land with that, it reflects it back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder that's waiting, that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reaching back in the flesh. Don't you see it? See? There it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See? Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you turn with me, we'll read what Paul says about that. And beginning at verse 39, he says, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We also know, according to Matthew, I think it's chapter 24, I think around 31, he says that when he comes here as the judge, that you'll receive the rewards that are done for the actions or the work that you did in the body, the deeds done in the body. And so we know then that what we do in this body, as Brother Bram said, is a reflection of where we're going. See? And at that time, that connection between the two bodies will be made. Now, why Little Bethlehem? Brother Bram said, a few days ago, I was at the Morris Auditorium, one of our great New York campaigns, and I was hearing the lecture on Einstein. Brother Bram went to Einstein's lecture, where he's speaking on this galaxy that said, take 150 million years of light time to go out to it, and 150 million years to get back, and then just think, 150 million light years, that'd be 300 million light years round trip. And then when you got back, you'd only have been gone 50 years. Think, how fast that light travels, 186,000 miles per second, and think of how many billions and trillions of years it would take to go out there and come back, 120 or 300 million light years. And that's just to a galaxy in the constellation that God just blew from his hand. And he made the aeons of time and lights and light years beyond that. And they're looking down at that. Just think of it. Now, from Paradox, he said, Einstein, the greatest scientist, said that there's only one sensible way to explain the origin of this earth. That was found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. By faith, we understand God framed the world out of things that he spoke into existence. How does it stand in the sky? It never gets out of its orbit. How that everything in heavens and that constellation, if one of those stars would move, I know you go out at night and you say, I've seen a star shoot. No, you've seen a weather light. A star doesn't move. If that star would move, we'd move with it. Everything in heavens is so much in harmony that it holds one another together. What if mankind could be that way? To hold the church together. That we could all be in harmony in the world. That we could all be in harmony in the Word. See? Only one way. Let God be his own interpreter, and we will be. See? God is his own interpreter of that. Now, I like what he's saying here. He's saying, look, Einstein said, he goes on to say how Einstein said that if two people were driving in a vehicle of some sort, and they were able to attain the speed of light, and they're heading for each other, they would actually pass right through each other without a collision. And he said, Einstein had shown by scientific theory that if you were to travel out 150 million light years and come back 150 million light years, it would only be 50 years different from the time you left. It doesn't make any sense. And yet faith is the evidence of things that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense in the realm of the five senses, but it makes sense in the realm of eternity. Because Brother Branham goes on to say how, just think if we could travel like a thought, how much faster it is than the speed of light. See? From explaining healing in Jairus, he says, remember, when Peter was walking on the water, how could a man walk on water? Now think about that. oil, if it was ice, but that's in a different stage. But how could a man walk on water? Now look, we're looking at three dimensions: matter, space, and time. Now matter matter is broken down into height and depth and width. Three dimensions: this way, that way, and this way. And then within those you have weights and measures. Here is a man walking on water whose weight completely broke the laws of gravity, and he was able to walk on water because the creator of the universe was walking on the water. Anyway, he goes on, remember when Peter was walking on water? He was walking all right till he seen the waves contrary and he got scared. Jesus said, "Why'd you fear?" That's what's the matter with the Holy Ghost people today. They've got a lot that they're afraid of. The devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else and say, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and the earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. We're right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who He called, He justifies. Is that right? Those who He justifies, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection. Or here. What we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from, and you know where your other body's waiting. Einstein, I'm trying to think of the other scientists. There are three scientists who are called together. One was Einstein, the other was Tesla, and they were called together during World War II because the government wanted to develop some, basically I would call them supernatural means of military power. Einstein developed the atomic bomb, which is breaking atoms. How many of you ever seen an atom? Not Adam Hovalsky, but A-T-O-M. Atom. Oh, you can't see them with your eyes. They're so small. And yet, they were able to break those atoms. And by breaking the atoms, they're able to change nature. There'd be a tremendous explosion, implosion, then explosion, that would just completely suck everything toward it, then blow it all out. That's one. Tesla developed the Philadelphia Project. How many ever heard of that? Philadelphia Project was a cloaking device where they took a ship, they wired it with all kinds of electricity, and that ship disappeared for a half hour. But what happened was, in the process of the ship disappearing for a half hour, those people traveled in time. And some of them were seen in, the two sailors were seen at that very moment that they were supposed to be on the ship, and they were seen up the coast. Others were seen in different places. And then when that ship came back, there's a real eerie kind of a mist around the ship. And when they came out, men were frozen in place. Men had been walking at the time, and when the experiment took place, they kept walking, and when the experiment stopped, men were frozen in between walls, head on one side, legs on the other, as they're walking through. They were walking through walls. That tells us then that the speed at which they were traveling, the vibration, whatever it was greater than light. Now what are we getting at here? When Jesus came in His glorified condition, He walked through the what? The wall. He entered the room. When, Philip was translated. What happened to him? He was in the chariot 1 minute, next minute he's over somewhere else beginning to preach a revival. Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. What happened? Some trans-dimensional thing took place. Now, from the curtain of time, Brother Van said, and notice while they spoke, get him around you to talk about him all the time. Keep your conversation not on who's or where the next play comes on television or the next movie is going to come or who's going to be elected president, but talk about Jesus. Christians talk about everything but Christ in these days. Go out, and they always got a bunch of nonsense and everything and they want to talk about or something, but never talking about Christ. Talk about Him. Sing about Him. Love Him. Keep Him on your heart and your mind all the day. David said, he'd bind the laws upon his fingers and the bedposts, and so he'd be before him all the time. That's the way. Keep him before you in memory, thought, speech, and praise. All that should do is keep Christ before you. That's the way to keep him near you. Now, from What Shall I Do with Jesus, called Christ, he said, in New York last week, I was listening at a message quoted by, or said by Einstein, the great scientist, that what is called, he's called the brains of the time. And I was heard that. Then I went to hear Norman Vincent Peale on his psychology about how the people should do or walk and project themselves into psychology. And then on Einstein, he was speaking of a galaxy that was out between the system there, out from stars. And if a person could travel at that speed, I believe he said, a speed of light. Now, I think that's what is that, 186,000 miles per second that light travels? And break that down in 5 minutes, how many millions and billions of miles that you travel in 5 minutes? And 120 million years of light it would take you to get to that galaxy. And then 150 million years to get back. And then they hit something that stumped them. And going out there and coming back, and you'd actually take you 3 million years, 300 million years to make the trip, 300 million years, 300 million years to make the trip, and then you come back to the earth, and actually you've only been gone for 50 years. That means you break into eternity, there's no end to it. And to think that God, the God, who made all of that and set it in order and spoke of it and come down and was made flesh among us to redeem us and was so honorous with his august presence that he would stand here on this sinful earth in the last days and prove his word to be so because he's obligated to that word. Amen. The sovereignty and the justice of the great one who holds those things in his hand. I think about that. So the true Easter seal, Brother Bram said, now, we just happen to think, just watch this a minute. Now, Einstein proved by scientific that if two objects was coming to each other, like two cars coming down the road, and if we're coming fast enough, now they'd really have to be going fast like, speed of light, but they would pass right through one another and never disturb a thing. The speed would do it. Pass them right through one another without disturbing anything. Now, I was standing here not long ago at Mount Palomar, California, and I was noticing that there is that telescope that can see 120 million years of light space. Now think, 120 million years of light space, how many miles that would be to be broken down, see? But yet, heaven is so many billions and billions and billions of light years beyond that till it's not even thought of. How would we get there? It's the travel. It'd be like with the mind. It's so fast, it'd be faster. If you could think of heaven, that's how quick you'd be there. Jesus, after he was resurrected, came right through the walls, right through the doors, and stood, and eat boiled fish and honeycomb. Hallelujah. Speed. No sooner than life has come out of his body, we're in the presence of God yonder. We only know as we, we, We only know as feet and inches and yards and miles and so forth, we're in this earthbound system. But when we leave here, brother, oh my, what a time. So Brother Brown is just kind of laying out some things. And he looked, that man, I don't care if he had an 8th grade education or not. The man sat and heard Einstein, understood what he's talking about. The man went to Palomar and saw through the telescope hundreds of millions of light years out. I mean, he experienced his school of hard knocks was a tremendous. He just had a lot more light than anyone actually. Okay, Christ revealed His own word. He said, "No, we could have got any continuity amongst medics." Among scientists, different ones. If Einstein had only had the spiritual application as he had the physical application, as he studied the laws of light and so forth, he could have told us something. When I heard this message on that great center somewhere in the skies that ever contacted that center, you could create Earth, do anything, the power would be unlimited. He had seen that. You see these little pockets going through the air, they call saucers and so forth. People see that, and we just better leave that alone. But hear how these people come up missing, and you say, "Don't hear from them." They're standing there, and then they're not. That's the way the rapture is going to be. One of them would drop right down, and this terrestrial body will take up a celestial body, and there'll be hide nor hair or nor bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time, dropping right out of space and taking home. We see all this going on now at the Pentagon's wondering about these lights and mystic lights and everything they're seeing in the sky. You see they had one here in the paper in Jeffersonville this week and so forth, a mystic light they saw. Oh, they don't know what that is, but listen, little children, it's going to pick you up one of these days. Don't worry. That light dropped down. You know, a lot of the things that men see in their minds, like, you know, in Star Trek, they say, beam me up. Beam me up, Scotty. I guess that's the word. Beam me up, Scotty. It's in the imagination of man. It's in the minds of man. And a lot of the things that we thought would only be talked about, and in the scientific journals or the comic books when we're young kids, they now have those devices. I remember as a child, I used to love reading the. Dick Tracy, he had this watch. He could look at this watch and he could actually see people. He could, you know, this is Dick Tracy calling jiu-jitsu, you know, and he would look at that thing and he'd have this little watch and he'd have a camera in the watch. They have them now. They're $199. So you can take pictures. You can hold over 100 pictures on your watch. The things that they had in the old days, you know, the the real old days, the science fiction, the rocket, you know, going up and well, that's all been fulfilled. In fact, Brother Bram said that, you know, man, if you look at what man does in the natural, it types in the spiritual. And so we had the horse and buggy. He said that kind of represented justification in Luther's time. And they said then we went from that to the automobile, more horses packed under one hood, same type of power, but anyway, he said that represents the sanctification. He said then we got to the airplane. Man began to go higher. He said that was Pentecost or the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, but now we're to the astronaut age. We're going up and far beyond, see. Now, from Fellowship by Redemption, he said, in the fourth dimension, people can prove that right through this room now is coming radioactivity, radio messages. Coming right through this building now is coming television pictures, but it's too fast for our eyes. Now, you go millions of miles beyond that dimension, and you'll get into a place that's just as real as television pictures is in this room this morning. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, standing here. And the reason that you can't see Him is because our heart hasn't become tuned down to it. And the reason we can't see the television pictures where our bodies are not set as instruments to pick up mechanical set things. But when our body becomes in tune with God, becoming a part of Him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit in vindication to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead. He lives among us today. And He wants fellowship back with His people again. His great majesty, His glory is now spreading forth, and He desires to fellowship again with his people like he did in the garden. Now, I think it's interesting because we're looking at a dimension here. And as we read the quote earlier, Brother Branham says, you know, when you make a motion, he said that motion will be played back at the judgment. Everything you do, everything you think will be played back at the day of judgment. Now, God help us if we have to go to the judgment. The fact is, we do have a promise. He that believeth in me has passed from death unto life and shall not come into the judgment. You young people, every book you pick up, every conversation you have with your buddies, every time you take a drink when you shouldn't be drinking, or take a smoke when you shouldn't be smoking, or take a look at a girly magazine when you shouldn't be looking, it'll be played back one day. And not only will it be played back, but everyone will be there to see it. And they'll watch you as you do things that are wrong, and they'll know that you did those things that are wrong. That's why Peter said how we ought to live our lives knowing what great things are coming. I can't remember the exact scripture how it goes, but how we ought to order our lives knowing that it's all going to be played back. And I think the only thing that'll take it out is the bleached blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. If you keep doing it and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me," keep doing it, "Oh Lord, forgive me," that's not the, you might be using some type of bleach, but not the bleached blood of Christ. It's just, that's just the way it is. And we're talking about dimension. Everything you do is being recorded in that fourth dimension. Now let me continue reading this. He says, he said, you'll get into that place just as, it'll be just as real as television pictures is in this room this morning. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, standing there. And the reason you can't see Him is because our heart hasn't become tuned down yet. See, He says, it's just too fast for your eyes. But when our body becomes in tune with God, becoming a part of Him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of Jesus Christ in all of His power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead. Now, from the paradox, Brother Brown said, as I said in my last message, standing over there against the wall, when I was here a few weeks ago, every time you move your finger, that goes around and around the world, never will stop. Every move that you make, you'll see it at the judgment. What about somebody fornicating? It's going to be played back. Everybody's going to see your fornication. Television proves that it's here, the fourth dimension. Because the television doesn't manufacture that picture, it only channels that wave into a tube and you see the picture. Color, everything, every moving object that's happening in the world is going right around through here now, making a record. Someday your record's going to be closed and you're going to answer to that record. That's right. God, let me be so planted. Let me be so dead to myself and anything around me and be so conscious of the Word of God living among us today. That's my prayer. Let's pray. From God's power to transform, He said, I know that you think I'm getting you out on the limb, but I'm on the limb with you. And we're all here to try to find out what we can do. We don't say that these things, we don't say these things to be different. We must be honest. We, each one of us, came down to the end of the road where we're going to give account for every word. Right now, we know that our voices, when we're born, our first little cry goes on a tape. It's going to be played back again on the day of judgment. Even the clothes you wear, listen to that, even the clothes you wear will be showed in your face at the day of judgment. You sneaking around with your shorts and your pants, you girls, it's going to be showed back. You guys, wearing little girly shorts and stuff, it's going to be paid back. Even science has found that by television. See, television doesn't manufacture a picture. It only channels it. The color of clothes, every time you move, every thought that's in your mind, it's absolutely kept on God's record. And that big thing will be laid right before you. Every one of them filthy dresses that you wore. Every time that you went to the barber shop, cut that hair that God gave you, it's going to be, you'll answer for it. You can't make a move right now. Just even the thoughts of your heart, while you're doing it, it will be played right before you. How are you going to escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? There's that quote. See? We're not going to escape. Every move and the thoughts of the heart is recorded right in another dimension. Even the color of clothes that you wear. Television, color television proves it right out. Pulls it out and shows you. And that's just in one dimension from the three that we live in, see? Now, how the poison has struck the church, it's struck the earth. Satan's poison until the seeds has put cavities in it and caused it to be deformed. More and more he sinks deeper into the hearts of the churches, in the hearts of the people and everything. Science, until it becomes a place where the human race, by being interbred, I believe every seed should bring forth of its kind. And the human race and the plants and all that being interbred has brought us to a place in eating our food from the earth, which our bodies is made hybrid. And it's put our whole minds. And now if our bodies are falling at the age of 20, 25 years old, because of degenerated cells of hybrid foods, don't our brain cells degenerate? Isn't that cells also? That's why Ricky runs through the street here with his hot rod. Why Ricketta, Elvis, Elvitas, and many of them, as we call them, out here half naked before the people, mentally gone, no more conception of decency or morals. But that's the reason why it's all going. See? But on the other hand, it's all going to be recorded. Now, from Fellowship by Redemption, he said, now, if I have quoted to you the scripture right, listen to what God said here in his word. Listen to what Jesus said here. He that heareth my words, that's the gospel being preached, and believeth in his heart on him that sent me, hath, that's present tense, right now, everlasting life, that can't die. And that's right. Now, you might not know the Greek, but the the right Greek translation, it has Zoe, which means God's own life, has Zoe, and shall never come into the condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Here's what's happened then, if you die now. According to the word of God, you go out of the existence of people who can see you in his presence. And there you live. You can look back. You're not in the world no more. You're in another world. And then what do? You're like those souls under the altar saying, Lord, how long will it be? See, you'll never be an angel. You wasn't made to be an angel. You were made men and women. So you're longing to come back. Because you can see then when you get up here and say, well, I see that it's about, I know why I had to be there. I know why that had to take place. See, you never die. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. You can't die. You can't die. You die to the mortal part, but you're alive here in the spiritual. Your spirit's right here with Christ. And then you say, Lord, how long will it be? Because you wasn't made to be there. You wasn't made that because you're a human being and you're longing to come back into this body perfect again. And he said, just a little while longer until your fellow servants there has suffered like the martyrs did back there. Then you will return coming down, and after you go out of this body, out of cosmic light and petroleum and what you're made up of, you go into that fourth dimension. Now, there it is. You go into that fourth dimension. And out of that, into the fifth dimension, then the sixth dimension, then God's in the seventh, and you're right under his altar. Then when God lets your spirit loose, it picks up what? It comes out of the sixth dimension into the fifth cosmic light, come out of that light into petroleum, out of petroleum into the senses, and here you are back on earth again, a brand new person, not old and broke down, never to be sick. Your hair will never turn gray. You'll never be wrinkled. You'll never you'll never separate no more. You'll never die. You'll never hunger. You'll never have to worry. You'll walk with your loved ones and shake their hands and eat and drink, build houses and inhabit them, and live forever and ever in the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's what you got this morning because you heard the Word of God. That's tremendous. Look at the value of coming to church and hearing the Word. I mean, we're talking about eternal life. From the Tyson's Spirit, he said, now we've applied it in the healing service, always to the healing side, cancer, tumor, cataract, tuberculosis, all those things are not natural things. They are supernatural and are demons. The scripture plainly vindicates that. But that is a demon in the body with growths like cancer. It got life in it, and the life of that demon, the life of that is a demon. Growth of a cataract, the spread of tuberculosis and other diseases, it's demons. That's in a physical form. Now, this morning that we're going to talk about demons in spiritual form in the soul. They're in the soul as same as you're in the body. And we're bound to admit that we've seen them in the people's body, such cancers and different diseases, that's in the human body. Just recently, even cancer has been declared to be a fourth dimension disease. That is in another dimension. Sure, it's demonology. Every disease is a fourth dimension disease, the beginning of it. If you go to, I heard the other night, I was bringing Elizabeth home from school last Monday night, and we flipped down the channel, and my radio was out of my car, so I had to use a kind of a portable, and I can only get a couple channels with it, or if I hold it up to the ceiling, I can get a little bit more. And so I was listening to WLW, and Art Bell came on, and they were talking about something, and all of a sudden somebody said, "Did you see, I noticed that picture that's on your website of the television set and the hand coming out of the television set." So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and check that out. So I checked it out, and here they have a picture. It's a television where, it, you know, at night when everything goes off the air and it just turns white like a sheet, and here's his hand coming out of the television set. Now, that could have been superimposed. Sure, it could have been. But I remember years ago, Brother Cash told me that there was somebody in his church that was watching television set, and they were starting to fall asleep in front of the television set, and when it went out and went kind of fuzzy, he said, then this big blue-like demon came out of that thing. Well, you don't realize what Brother Bannon is saying here. It's a fourth-dimension disease. Now, people are walking in that fourth dimension, okay? Diseases are in the fourth dimension. Now, what did Dr. Huldah Clark discover? Every disease has what? A frequency. What is electricity? It's fourth dimension. So we're talking about a fourth dimension. We're talking about a dimension that's a conduit. And Brother Brown said we have to pass through there to get to the fifth or sixth. And God's in the seventh. Now, if it is a fourth dimension, and they're proving scientifically now that you can take its frequency, that it comes out. See, what Brother Barron goes on to say here. He said, now cancer in the body or cancer in the soul, the demon can come into either place. Now, I've got another one I want to read to you here. Okay, listen to this, from Blind Bartimaeus. But God was perfect to begin with, and he's been perfect all along, and he will always be perfect. He can't be no more. And then when a crisis arose back there and people needed healing in the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, God made a way for healing for them because they had a need of it. Their doctors couldn't do no more, and the snakes was biting them, and they were dying, and all the remedies that they put on wouldn't heal them. And if God provides a healing for them, and today of cancer and heart trouble and disease, and that our beloved doctors don't know how to doctor it hardly, and I heard a statement the other night on the radio of some said that they had never proved that an operation for cancer had ever been successful. That's right. Now, not one. So they have nothing to doctor with. Some of them say it's a fourth dimension disease, they call it, but it's a devil. So it's a fourth dimension disease, but it's a devil. And Brother Bannon said, you can get cancer, you can get it in the body, you can get it in the soul. The same demon can do either one. So you're dealing with, and in the soul, you're not dealing with this dimension, are you? You're dealing with another dimension. Brother Bannon said, it's just reflecting what's in that other dimension. You see, either your body's in the sixth or it's in the fifth dimension, the one that you're going to, but it's got to pass down through the fourth and into this third, these three dimensions we live in order for it to reflect what you're doing back there. You know, when you start to look at these things, it almost blows your mind. But look at electricity. Dr. Huldah Clark proved that you can treat medicine with electricity. Why? Because they all come out of that conduit, that fourth dimension. Right now going through here is radio waves. Tesla wanted to use the fourth dimension to generate electricity for every household in America. He said, there's enough electricity in the earth now. You don't have to generate it. It's just channeling it, he called it, channeling it. He's going to build a great tower in Manhattan, on the island of Manhattan. They will channel that electricity that's coming up. What is lightning? Anybody tell me what lightning is? What happens, the reason why you get lightning is because in the clouds you have the positive and negative ions. And what happens is because of the movement, so much turbulence, it separates the positive rise to the top of the clouds, the negative to the bottom of the clouds, and then the negative begin pulling. And the positive charge that's in the earth goes up to it, and that's your lightning. And you're talking about billions of watts of electricity. The positive is already here in the earth. If it can be tapped into, a man would become an instant millionaire. And the world would have all kinds of power, but you'd probably be shot because there's big money investors that don't want people to have things free. You know, there's money in, look at money in medicine, $1.3 trillion a year in this country alone. They don't want the people to be healthy. But the fact is, we're talking about a dimension. And if those diseases are in the dimension, doesn't a television, watching television, doesn't that open you up to all kinds of diseases? So, he said it's a fourth dimension disease, they call it, but it's the devil. From the present stage of my ministry, he said, now, when we come along, we remember that we live here in three dimensions, and I don't know where I can name them or not. One of them is light, and the other is matter. Tommy, you remember what the third is, huh? Time? No. Light, matter, and time. And our five senses contact these dimensions. Our sight contacts light, our feeling contacts matter, and so forth. But we have contacted through science the fourth dimension as it was, because coming right through this room now comes pictures, voices of radio, pictures of television, that our senses does not contact that. But yet, it have a tube or a crystal that picks up those ether waves and manifests them. So you see, right in the building now is the actions of people in the air, live voices. They're here. We know that. They're absolutely the truth, and the only thing that they catch it, and I don't understand the mechanics of these things that science has invented, but we know that it proves to us that there's a fourth dimension. And now the fifth dimension is where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to, and the fifth dimension is kind of, well, and the horrible dimension. And when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension, and God is in the seventh dimension. Now, when you see the Christian, when he dies, he goes under the altar of God, right into the presence of God, under the altar, and he's at rest. So, from the message countdown, Brother Branham says that the natural always types the spiritual, and what we see happening in the natural shows that there's something taking place in the spiritual. Then he typed the horse and buggy, power of transportation, with the church going through the justification. Then the automobile with sanctification. Then the airplane with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just read a little bit of this. I think we're running out of tape, aren't we? Just about? Okay. He said, and now we live here, and what we believe in, there's five senses, really, but the faith makes the sixth sense now. And we live now in here what we think we call three dimensions. I might not call these right, but I think the three dimensions is called, some of you kids out of high school might be able to correct me on this, but light, air, and thought, three dimensions. Actually, it's, light, matter, and time. Okay. Anyway, now we know that there's another dimension, which is the fourth dimension, because science has probed that and found it, and it's radio. And there's no senses. There's no senses of our body can detect radio or television over the ether wave. Yet right now, right through us now is coming people's voices. Right through us here is coming television pictures. But we have nothing in us, no way at all to contact that in ourselves. It takes a crystal or some sort of magnet to contact that. But it speaks that there is another dimension. Now that's four dimensions. Then I think the fifth dimension is where the sinner goes when he dies. And now I think that when the sinner dies, he goes to this fourth dimension. Notice, the first thing, he cannot go into the presence of God because he is a sinner and his time is up on earth. And if you type it for you, it's like you go into a deep sleep, and you can't sleep, but you're in a nightmare. And it's hideous things, and you're screaming. And that's the state of the wicked dead. He cannot go into the presence of God because he's a sinner. He cannot go back to the earth because his time's up. And he's caught between the two things in the fifth dimension. He's got a soul, and he cannot go into the presence of God because it's not covered by the blood. He's a sinner. He cannot wake up himself because it's his time's up on earth. So there he is in a tormented nightmare. Think of that now before you enter it. A nightmare. Scream. And many of us has had nightmares. And we're told that because the two consciences are passing, sub and first conscience, and it catches between, and that's the nightmare. And when a sinner dies, he's caught with his soul between earth and hell in the nightmare, and there he stands. And now the sixth dimension is in Christ, the saints, the dead saints, or resting saints, who is complete, is completely work finished on earth, and have entered into this rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. And you could parallel it like a wonderful dream that you didn't want to wake up from. Yeah, but it ain't a dream, it's natural, it's real. But I'm making a parable for you, and of course the seventh dimension is God alone. Now notice modern happenings that we have. We look at the scientific age that we live in, the push-button age, and yet people have less time to go to pray than they ever did before in all these modern times. They used to sit all night and listen to the sermon, and now we just can't do it. We haven't got time to do it. You see, it's just in our head. We think that we haven't got time to do it, but we have. But modern happenings is a forerunner of spiritual happenings. Now remember, modern happenings are forerunners of spiritual happenings, the natural as spiritual. Exactly. Each happening accompanying the other, only improved on the other, over the other. Each thing that happens in the natural, the next happens in the is an improvement. For instance, let's take, for instance, now of transportation. One day there was horses and buggy, and then we got the automobile. That's still horsepower, but more of it in the automobile. It was an improvement of horsepower, certainly. When we got the automobile, it was an advantage over the horse and buggy.